said to me years ago, and when I say years ago, I'm talking back in the 90s, 30 years ago or so, an evangelist and I were talking, and he said that he was convinced that a majority of the people that call themselves Christians do not have a regular, consistent time of reading their Bible and praying. They may, of course, we all pray when we have a need, right? We pray when we get in a jam, but I'm talking about a daily walk with God. And there's no more basic thing for a child of God to do than read their Bible and pray. And if I was asked for a raise of hands this morning, I don't know what kind of answers we would get. You would have to answer that in your own mind. But how much Bible have you read in the last 7 days? How much time have you spent in prayer in the last 7 days? And I came across this thought here some time back here a few months ago, just a little bit different angle than I've ever looked at it before. Verse number 24, it says that Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Now, we understand that phrase, what he was, that he was not. That means he wasn't found because the Lord took him. But I got to thinking about that phrase, he was not. And there are some things that Enoch was not because he was walking with God. The first thing here is Enoch was not lost. You say, what do you mean? He was walking with God. So you know what that means? He was always walking in the right direction. He was always walking where he was supposed to walk. You look at people, and I'm not even talking about the world. I'm talking about people in our church today. They're always confused. They have no idea which way is up and which way is down and where they're headed and where they're supposed to be going. You know what would fix that? A consistent walk with God. Everybody expects that man to be walking with God. You know, well, he's the pastor. He's supposed to walk with God. That has nothing to do with what a child of God is supposed to be doing. Amen. You're supposed to be walking with God too. And so he was not lost. You know, another thing Enoch was not? He was not wicked. You say, well, what do you mean he was not wicked? You can't walk with God and live a wicked life. I didn't say perfect. I'm not talking about sinless perfection. I've run across those guys in the past that claim that when you get saved, you never sin again. Listen, when you and I got saved, our flesh did not get saved. Our flesh is still wicked. Our heart is still desperately wicked. Who can know it? I'm not talking about living a life of sinlessness, but I'm talking about a life of continual living in sin, living wickedly day in, day out, a lifestyle of it. Listen, when I got saved, he changed me. Amen. He was not wicked. He was not worldly. He was not worldly. You say, what are you talking about? Let me ask you a question. If you knew the Lord, if the Lord said to you, look, I'm going to stop by your house at 7 o'clock tomorrow morning, how would you present yourself? How would you show up to the appointment? Listen, I'm not talking about I'm not talking about being a Pharisee when it comes to all of that kind of thing. I'm not talking about that. I'm just talking about in this modern day and age in which we live, we're sloppy. Amen? I always like it. Now, y'all don't have to deal with as much down here as we do up in Maine. But, you know, every year it'll come out that, you know, it's so cold that Walmart is requesting its shoppers to wear 2 pair of pajamas to the store. You know, little pictures and memes and stuff like that. But, you know, he was not worldly. He didn't show up to the appointment driving in the, I'm talking about putting it in modern day and age terms that we can think of. He didn't show up to the appointment, amen, with rock music blaring on the radio, with contemporary music blaring on the radio. Another thing that Enoch was not, he was not an enemy. You say, what are you saying, Brother Craig? I'm saying only God's friends walk with him. He was not an enemy of God. The Bible says that Abraham was a friend of God. The Bible says that Enoch was a friend of God. Now, I understand all the prophets and, you know, you think about Daniel and David and all of that. They were friends of God. But there was something unique about these men that God worded it or described their relationship with him in the Word of God as a friend, as a friend. We can all thank the Lord for this one. When you walked with God, he was not alone. He was not alone. I understand people think that they're alone, we're talking about human relationships. But what greater companion could you have in this life than God himself? He was not alone. We're never alone. I don't know if it's in your hymn book, but there's a hymn, Never Alone. No, never alone. And when you're walking with him, Adam walked with God before the fall in the garden. And I've heard people say this, I feel all alone. Well, we're not supposed to live on feelings. All right. We're not supposed to live on feelings, and we really, truly are never alone. The Bible says in the book of Psalms that God is a very present help in time of trouble. And you know, if the Bible says that he's a present help in time of trouble, then it doesn't matter what we feel. You say, well, I don't feel like he's there. I can't see him there. It doesn't matter, amen? Hey, listen, the clouds can cover the top of a mountain so you don't see it, but it doesn't mean it's not there. And the storms of this life can cloud our vision maybe of God and where he's at, but it doesn't change the fact that he is there. Hold your place there in Genesis. Go over to Hebrews chapter 11 where it also talks about Enoch. Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 5, the Bible says, by faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. You know what Enoch was not? Enoch was not a disappointment to God. We have this misconception today in worldly thinking that you can get saved and do anything you want and live however you want without any consequences. That's not Bible. That's not Bible. People say, well, I'm saved. I'm going to heaven when I die, so it doesn't matter how I live. It does matter how you live. If you know your Bible, it does matter how you live. If it says there that he pleased God, then guess what? Logical thinking tells us there must be some things that God is not pleased with. So how do I please God? Well, stay close to him and walk with him and you'll find out. And because of that, he wasn't a bad testimony. You know what has happened in our Laodicean church age that we live is that we think that our actions mean nothing to anybody else. It's just between me and God. But here's what we all have that we forget sometimes. We all have a testimony. And you and I are either a good testimony for God or a bad testimony for God. And especially those around you that are lost without God, what they think about you is what they think about God. What they see in you is what they think about God. Here's another thing that Enoch was not. He was not lazy. You say, what do you mean he was not lazy? It takes work to walk with God. It takes character to walk with God. It takes discipline to walk with God. It takes character to wake up every day and walk with God. It takes care to walk with God throughout the course of the day. And I've learned this in just observation in my time of being saved and being a preacher. If people are physically lazy, they're probably spiritually lazy. It's a character trait, so it's going to carry over into all areas. It's something that you have to learn to prioritize. You know what Enoch was not? He was not worried about what people thought about him. It didn't matter what everybody else was going to do. He was going to walk with God. It didn't matter what the status quo was. It didn't matter what everybody else was doing. He was going to walk with God. He knew that it was the most important thing in his life and important thing to him. Here's another thing Enoch was not. He was not worse off for doing it. You think walking with God made him a worse person or a better person? You think it made him a worse Christian or a better Christian? You walk with God, it's going to affect you. It's going to change you. Amen. Enoch was glad when he walked, Enoch was glad that he did walk with God. And I look around and I see people that claim to be saved that are miserable all of the time. I can assume safely one thing about them. They probably don't spend a whole lot of time walking with God. You say, why is that? Because the Bible says that in his presence is fullness of joy. You cannot be, listen, I didn't say you can't have hard times or you're not going to have hard times or you're not going to be sad at things. You know, we're going through this tragedy in the family. We're sad, but that doesn't mean we're miserable. Because we can still be in his presence and have fullness of joy. And here's something that attributes to his character. Enoch was not willing to go through life not walking with God. There are people today that are perfectly content going through this thing called the Christian life and never spend any time with God. You say, how can you say that? Because they're obviously doing it. They're obviously doing it. Listen, I understand the importance of reading through your Bible in a year. I get it. But listen, if you've read through your Bible in a year and the only thing you have to show for it is 365 check marks and you didn't get a thing out of what you read, then I would rather have somebody read a chapter a day and get something out of it and learn from it and grow. And I appreciate the prayer meeting yesterday and the direction that the preacher is asking the men to go about sharing something, not just preaching a message, but sharing something that God is doing in their life. And that's important because we need to realize that God wants to work in our life. And if we walk with God, he will, and that allows us to let him work in our life. And there are people today that are content going through life just being saved or living a lukewarm life or not having a close relationship with God. There are people that they're content being lukewarm. They're content struggling all the time. They're content always just, you know, flopping around like a fish out of water. It's sad that we don't have to live that way. We don't have to live that way. But what a blessing just being able to walk with him and wanting to spend time with God, or I should say spending time with God because we want to spend time with God. This is a statement that is true about every area in our life. We do what we want to do. You want to know why you came to church here this morning? I'm assuming it's because that's what you wanted to do. Hopefully you didn't do it just because, well, it's Sunday. That's what we do on Sunday, or it's obligation, or the preacher expects us to be there. No, hopefully you came to church today because you wanted to be here, because you wanted to meet with God. And that's what Enoch, he was not willing to live without it. He was not ignorant of God. You can't spend as much time walking with Enoch and not get to learn about God. Would there be anybody in this room who would say, I wish I knew God better? My hand is up, okay? Well, we can know him better. How do you get to know a friend? How do you get to know a relative? You spend time with them. How do you get to know God? You spend time with him. We have a lady in our church. I talk about her everywhere I go. It's just, she has an amazing testimony. She got saved coming up on 4 years ago, and she lost her husband 4 years ago, and she's probably 71, 72 now, so she got saved in her late 60s, and when she got saved, I mean, you talk about somebody that got saved. She has read more books in the last 4 years than probably most preachers I know have in 30 years. She is soaking it up. She is reading books. She's reading the Bible. She started an online Bible Institute and graduated at 70 years old because she was hungry. She wanted to know God, and she wanted to get to learn about God. Enoch wasn't confused. You say, why? Well, that goes back to he was always walking in the right direction. He wasn't confused. You know what I see in people today? A lot of confusion. I believe this with all my heart. God taught me this. I've been a preacher for 30 plus years and been an evangelist 20 years, but I've been pastor for 5 years. And in that 5 years, I've learned something that I probably should have learned before. But I learned this. Everything that goes on in your life and your reaction to it and how you make it through it is in direct correlation to your walk with God. I know two individuals right now. They went through the very same thing. They had the very same experience. It was a tragedy. One on one day and one on the next day, within a day of each other. And the one, it did blow him out for a little while, and stress, and, oh, I can't take it, and I can't handle this. And the other, peace and joy, contentment, God has a reason. I'm not going to question them. What's the difference? Their relationship with God. Their walk with God. You know, you look at people today, and I'm not trying to get political, but just take inflation. And it's knocking people out, and I get it. What are we going to do when the real hard times come? And if the Lord don't come back, we haven't seen anything yet. Well, how are we going to survive that? Our walk with God, our relationship with God. He wasn't confused. And it boils down to this. When is God going to go from a doctrine you read about to a person that you know and love and have a relationship with? When is God going to go from a thing or a subject to a person? We have a personable God. We have a God who can be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. We have a God who listens, who sees, who speaks, who hears, who has emotion, who has a love, and he has passions, and that is the kind of God. And we need to go from just reading a book about him or hearing preaching about him to having a very intimate relationship with him. When was the last time you just talked with God like you would talk to a friend? And I'm not talking about in prayer. When was the last time you got up in the morning and said, well, Lord, I got to go to Walmart today. I got to go to the bank today. Let's go, Lord. And people always look and say, you can talk to God like that? Why wouldn't you? Why wouldn't you want to? Did you take them to the shop with you? Did you take them to the job site with you? Did you talk to them? When you were sitting at your desk or at your bench or whatever and something wasn't working out, I mean, when was the last time when it was just your initial gut reaction, Lord, would you help me with this? I'll go so far as people think you're even crazy or say, Lord, you know which way I go home from work every day. Should I go a different way today? That is so foreign to a lot of people's thinking. God is not a religious duty you check off on some list. He is the one that saved you and wants to have that daily relationship with you. Colossians chapter 3 says, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear. The mistake that people make is they make Christ a part of their life. He don't want to be a part of your life. He wants to be your life. You don't fit God into your schedule. You make him your schedule. You know what I know this from? I know this from pastoring. It's a lot easier to pastor people who walk with God. You love your pastor? You want to make his job easier? Walk with God. You know what you'll find? I'm not saying don't go to him when you have a question or you need counsel, but I know this. When you go to God, you'll need to go to the preacher a lot less. I mean, I know people, they don't know which way to, you know, they don't know which way to fold the paper unless they ask somebody. They got to ask the preacher every little detail of their life. Why don't you just talk to God? Why don't you have a relationship with God? A church full of people who are walking with God will be a church with a lot less personal problems. And take your Bible, go to Zechariah chapter number 8. Find Matthew and go left a couple books. Zechariah chapter 8. Zechariah chapter 8, look at verse number 20. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, it shall yet come to pass that there shall come people and the inhabitants of many cities, and the inhabitants of one city shall go to another, saying, let us go speedily to pray before the Lord and to seek the Lord of hosts. I will go also. Yea, many people and strong nations shall come to seek the Lord of hosts in Jerusalem and to pray before the Lord. And here it is, Zechariah chapter 8, look at verse number 23. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, in those days it shall come to pass that 10 men shall take hold out of all languages of the nations, even shall take hold of the skirt of him that is a Jew, saying, we will go with you, for we have heard that God is with you. Now, I understand the context. I understand this is talking about Israel, God's chosen people. And I do not believe that we have replaced Israel, okay? I don't believe that. But as children of God, we are God's people. And I just want to draw a principle out of there, is that do we have the kind of relationship with God where people want to latch on to us because they've heard that God is with us? Hey, they may not even know that it's God, but they know there's something different about us, and that we have something that they don't. But word had gotten around that God was with them. You know, many times God judged Israel, and God wasn't always with Israel. But when they did right and sought God, he was with them. I told our church, I said, I want God to be with New Life Baptist Church. I want people, when they come here, to realize that, hey, there's somebody here. There's something different here. Not so we can brag, not so we can boast, not so we can put some stupid post on social media about ourselves. I want people to come here and realize that this is a place where God is wanted, God is needed, God is desired, because the people in the church want God and need God and desire to be with God. And there's a lot of good characteristics that a church can have. A church can be known as a loving church, a caring church, a giving church, a missions-minded church, a compassionate church. And those are all good things. But the Catholic Church can be loving. The Methodist Church can be caring. What about a church being known as a group of people that they're walking with God. They're looking for God. You know, I don't know much about New Life Baptist Church. I'm using that as an example. Hopefully people say, you know, we may not know a lot about that church, but that's a bunch of people looking for God. That's a bunch of people wanting God. That's a bunch of people that knows God, that serves God. You know, here's our problem. I'm a product of this. Here's a problem with a lot of our independent Baptist churches. We teach our people to serve, do. And we preach, serve God. But we don't tell them to know God. Listen, you can serve. I'm for serving God. I believe if you're a saved, born-again child of God, you need to serve God. But I believe more than that, you ought to know the God you're serving. I used to get the reports. I had to fill the reports every week because I was involved in ministry. How many visits did you make? How many tracts did you pass out? How many doors did you knock? Not one question about how much Bible I read, how much time I spent in prayer. It was all about the physical stuff, the surface stuff, the stuff that can be tabulated, the tangible stuff, if you will. But how much time did you spend in prayer? Where are the Sunday school teachers that prepare not just a lesson, but prepare spiritually to teach the lesson? Where are the bus workers who don't just show up on Saturday to make sure who's coming and who's not coming on Sunday so they can get the route ready? Where are the bus workers who spent time during the week praying for the people coming on that bus? Walking with God, living for God. Hebrews 11:6 says, but without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. How much time did you spend seeking God this week? How much time did you, I mean, you were searching. I see, you know, in the convenience stores and all that, I see the lotteries are getting back up there. 400 or 500 million. There'll be people spend more time contemplating seeking that winning lottery ticket than they did praying, searching for God, living for God. And by the way, let's close up here, go back to one thing that I never noticed this before. Genesis chapter 5. The Bible says in Genesis 5:24, and Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. You know, every word that's in this book, God put it there for a reason. That verse did not say that God walked with Enoch. It said that Enoch walked with God. God is not going to make you walk with him. That's a decision you're going to have to make. Enoch walked with God because he wanted to walk with God. It says there that Enoch walked with him. Are you walking with him? Now, if you start walking with him, guess what? He's going to walk with you. But you've got to take the initiative. You've got to make that. You've got to take that first step. Walking with God comes from desire. Walking with God comes from a realization that there's a need to walk with God. And so I will just close by asking you just a very simple question this morning. Are you today, Sunday, the whatever day it is of April, are you walking with God? Can that be said about you, that you're walking with God? Father, I pray that the message, the lesson, whatever you want to call it, was a help to your people this morning. Thank you for this church. I pray that you be the service to follow. In Jesus' name, amen.